And so I want you to take your Bible tonight and I want you to open it to 1 Thessalonians. That's in your New Testament. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. If you have trouble finding it in your Bible, you can just look right up here. I know there's always been a sign up here in the several meetings that I have been here, but is this the same sign or is this a new one? Well, I want you to know up front that I'm going to be preaching over these three nights on these two verses. I did not remember these verses hanging up on the wall. This is not premeditated. It only dawned on me into the second song, and I looked up there and I said, hey, that's what I'm going to be preaching on over these three nights. I don't want you to think that I remembered this sign hanging up here. Brother Lester and I have not been in cahoots and making plans together about what I would preach. This is just what's in my heart. And so I'm preaching over these three nights on these two verses. 1 Thessalonians 5. I begin reading in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I want to preach over these few nights from these verses on this little simple subject, God bless you. God bless you. In the verses that I've read in your hearing tonight, you have Paul's benediction to the Thessalonican church here in his first epistle. This is his benediction. In fact, I've done some study, and I am amazed at how many benedictions there are from Paul to the church at Thessalonica, both in the first and the second epistle. I think you'll find in those two books the highest concentration of Bible benedictions to be found anywhere in the Scriptures. My heart has been drawn to, and my heart has been sensitized to this thing of Bible benedictions. You know, they're just all over the Scriptures. They're everywhere. Benedictions. Bible benedictions. The first one's found in Numbers chapter number 6. And then from there, you've just got them piling up. When you get to the New Testament, it's benediction after benediction after benediction. Of course, it might help tonight if we defined what is meant by a benediction. I read some time ago the story about the black preacher, pastor of the black church, and he is just a country preacher, and he pastored a country church. But he'd been notified by the denominational authorities that they were going to come down in the Sunday morning service and visit with his church and check on the church and how the work was going there. He was a little intimidated by the authorities coming down to his church, so he really studied and prayed hard. Sought the Lord for a real good message. He wanted to impress the authorities. So the authorities came down and he preached that Sunday morning and he waxed eloquent. Man, he really preached a good sermon to them. All of his enunciation was right. His proclamation was smooth. He felt like that he had impressed them with the message that he preached. And when the service was over, he called on one of the deacons, one of the old black men in the church, called on one of the deacons, called him by name, said, "Dear brother, would you offer up the benediction?" Well, the old deacon had never heard that word benediction before. The pastor had never used that kind of language. Must have been from Laudy. That's what the pastor said. He said, "Dear brother, would you offer up the benediction?" And The old black deacon just looked around. He wasn't sure what to do. The pastor was becoming a little embarrassed. He thought the service had gone so well with the denominational leaders. He began to panic, and so he said it again. He said, "Dear brother, please, if you would offer up the benediction." No response. And finally, the pastor looked at the brother and said, "Dear brother, would you lead us in prayer and ask God's blessing on us as he dismisses us?" And the old deacon said, "Yes, sir. I can do that." The word benediction means to pronounce a blessing on someone. To pronounce a blessing. To project, to pronounce, to proclaim with the intensity of our soul, not just with the words of our mouth, but with the desires of our heart. To pronounce a blessing on another person. I am amazed at how often the Bible gives us these benedictions where you see God putting this desire in someone's heart to proclaim this blessing on another person's life. Of course, Paul is full of that. He's just full of that. Every epistle that he penned down under inspiration of the Holy Ghost began and ended with a benediction. I mean, it's all over Paul's writings. I mean, if you want to make a study of this, there's years of preaching. Because Paul begins every one of his letters by giving a benediction to God. And he begins by blessing God and blessing the Father and blessing the Son and blessing Him for grace and blessing Him for mercy and blessing Him from peace. He begins all of his epistles with a benediction where he's blessing God. And then he ends all of his epistles with a benediction where he's blessing men. He's blessing men. He's blessing. He's pronouncing the benediction. And for Paul, it's more than just words. It's more than just saying something because it sounds good. It's welling up in Paul's heart under inspiration of the Spirit of God. And Paul, with all of the intensity and in fervor of his soul, he pronounces these Bible benedictions on the people of God. It's in my heart over this meeting a few nights. With all of the intensity of my heart and all of the fervor of my soul and all the desire that is within me to bring Paul's benediction to the Thessalonican church unto you and pray that God will make it a blessing. It's a blessing. Paul's praying for a blessing. As I have looked at some of these Bible benedictions, Brother Gerald, God's just stirred it up in me. That I'd like to be a lot more like Paul. I'd just like to go around blessing God and blessing men. I feel like I brought curses to a lot of people, even as a preacher. I feel like I brought curses in a lot of services. I'd like to know more about becoming a benediction preacher. I'd like to experience more about being a blessing preacher who knows something from God about how to proclaim and project and preach blessing into the lives of the people of God. When God called Aaron and his sons in Numbers chapter 6, the first benediction of the Bible, the oldest benediction in the world, comes from Numbers 6, verse 23 through 27, when God says to Aaron and his sons, "You shall bless my people, you will bless the children of Israel." That's one of your jobs. You're to bless them. You're to be a blessing to them. And he gives them that benediction and says, here's what you're going to say to them when you bless them. And you're going to mean it with all of your heart. In addition to being a priest, in addition to offering the sacrifices, and in addition to your intercessory work on their behalf, you will stand and proclaim the blessing of the Lord upon them, which is this: the Lord bless thee and keep thee and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give thee peace. This is the blessing of the Lord. The first time we find Aaron and his sons invoking this blessing from God on the people is in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. When Aaron dedicated the temple and he dedicated and ordained the priesthood in Leviticus 9, it said that he lifted up his hands and proclaimed this blessing on the children of Israel. And when he did, immediately when he proclaims this benediction on them, Brother Gene, it said, and the glory of the Lord appeared, and the fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and all of the people shouted for joy and fell on their faces and worshiped God. Would you like to see the glory of the Lord tonight? Would you like to see the fire fall from heaven? Would you like to see it so impact the people of God that they began to shout for joy and fell on their faces and worship God? Maybe if we knew more about the art of the benediction and being benediction kinds of Christians, and we knew something about invoking the blessing of God into other people's life, we might know a little bit more about that glory and that fire and that reverence and that kind of worship. That's the kind of preacher I want to be. And it's in my heart over these few nights to preach this benediction, this blessing unto you that Paul gives to the church of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Tonight is my introduction to the thought. Tomorrow and Thursday night, I'm going to begin to flesh out line on line these verses, what I want to introduce to you tonight. So number one, I want you to see three quick things tonight. Number one, I want you to see, first of all, the giving of the giver of this blessing. The giver of the giving, or the giving of the giver of this blessing. Would you notice that it is the Apostle Paul who is the penman? The Holy Ghost is the author, but Paul is the penman of this epistle, and Paul is here invoking the blessing on the church at Thessalonica. Paul is a giver of blessings. Paul knows something about the art of the benediction. In studying the Bible, I've found that you can have one of two positions to every human being that you meet. You can either bless them or you can curse them. And you're going to do one of those two things to everybody that you meet. And that's why Paul admonishes us in Romans 12 and 14 to bless and to curse not. When it comes to your personal relationships, on every level, be careful to bless and to curse not. You're going to take one of two positions with everybody that you meet. And everybody that you relate with, it will either be blessing from you or cursing from you. I've already said and confessed in my own personal experience, I think that I have done the latter far too often. Too much cursing. I wonder tonight, are you like Paul? Are you the kind of Christian that brings blessing into other lives? Or do you bring cursing into your relationships with other people? You say, well, I have, you know, I don't cuss. I don't use profanity. When the Bible talks about cursing others, Brother Earl, it involves more than just cussing people out with profanity. I want to tell you tonight, and I'm just being honest, I believe, Brother Jeremy, that I've cursed a lot of people, but I didn't use profanity. I didn't use cuss words to do it. When the Bible talks about cursing other people, it's not just talking about cussing them or using profanity. It's not just talking about proclaiming or putting some kind of hex on somebody else. I came to tell you tonight, I'm not a cussing preacher and I don't do hexes on people. All right, so let's just be real clear about that, Brother George. I don't cuss and I don't do hexes. But I think I have brought curses into people's life without cussing, without hexes and spells on somebody's life. I think that I have cursed a lot of people with a bad attitude. I think I've cursed a lot of people with negative words. I think I've cursed a lot of people tonight with a judgmental spirit. I think I've cursed a lot of people with my horn driving up and down the road. I probably cursed a few today, Brother Mike, on the way here. And the Bible talks about either blessing or cursing in every one of your relationships. Don't assume just because you don't use cuss words and you don't put hexes on people that you haven't brought a curse into your relationships. I tell you, those people that you're jealous of, envious of, and covetous of tonight, and you wish them bad, and in your heart you wouldn't say it with your mouth. You hope they lose their job, and you hope they fall and get their leg broke, and you hope they die lost. That is a curse. Those people that you lie about, those people that you gossip about, those people that you slander, and those people you talk about behind their back, that's all the curse. There are many ways that we can bring the curse into somebody else's life. Been doing some repenting about that in these recent years. Trying to learn something about this business of giving, the giving of the giver of the benediction, the one who's going to give the blessing, the one who's going to be a giver of it. And this is my heart. My heart is to become the giver. My heart is to become the one that becomes skilled because of God's work in my life and giving out blessings to other people. I don't know about you, but I have been very guilty about being consumed with my own blessings. I found myself in church, coming to church to get a blessing. I have to confess to you, there are many times in preaching that I have prayed earnestly, with great passion in my heart, that as I preached, oh God, that you would bless me, and God, that you would help me, and God, that you would fill me, and God, that you would use me, and God, that you would anoint me. Oh God, bless me while I preach the Word of God. I think, Brother Lester, so many times in this matter of preaching, I have been so selfish, desiring my blessing. Oh God, I want to enjoy preaching tonight. God, I want to know the liberty. I want to know the unction. I want to know the feeling. I want to experience God. Oh God, I want to be blessed. I think, Brother Jeremy, I've been driven by that at times in my life. I want that blessing. I believe God's let me go through enough services where He said, okay, if that's what you want, I'll go on and bless you, and that'll be that. And I preached in a lot of services where I felt like the Lord helped me and blessed me, and everybody looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate, and they watched their watch waiting for me to get done, and they went out the back door and didn't get anything from God at all. And it took me a little while, Brother Jason, for it to dawn on me. There's more to this thing than me just getting the blessing. There's this matter of me giving the blessing. And my prayers started changing through the years. God, don't just bless me. Even if you don't bless me, God, bless them and help them. May they hear God. May they see God. May they experience God. May they know God. May they feel God. May they encounter God. Oh God, don't let this people leave without blessing them. And if you'd be pleased to use me and bring your blessing through my life into theirs, then God, I'd be thankful. But bless your people. Bless your people. Oh, Paul's not praying for his own blessing. You won't find that in his epistles. But he sure is calling down a lot of blessing from God on other people's life. The giving of the giver of the blessing. So before I move to the second thing, I wanted to ask you tonight, are you involved in the art of giving the blessing? I rarely ever go into a church service where somebody doesn't say, well, I came to get a blessing tonight. Well, that's good. You ought to. You ought not come to church, but what you're looking for some kind of blessing. But I would encourage you tonight, don't come to church without looking for how you might give one as well. We're going to have very good church services in any of our services, but all we got is a bunch of people came to get one. But what kind of church would we have, Brother Gerald, if people came? Everybody's coming not just to get one, but to give one. And they were getting trained in the art of giving out the blessing. I wonder tonight, who are you blessing? Who is God using you to bless? Who is it out there that God's bringing the blessing, the benediction through your life into their life? I wonder who's getting blessed in this church because of you being in it. I wonder who you bless Sunday here, who you's a blessing to. I wonder if your pastor gets, everybody comes, they want the pastor to give them a blessing. Oh, we hope the pastor's got a blessing for us today. When's the last time you've been a blessing to him? Number one, the giving of the giver of the blessing. Number two, there is the getting of the getters of the blessing. There's not only a giver, but there's some getters. And Paul mentions them several times in verse 23 and 20. You! You! It's you! It's you! Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to these Thessalonican believers, these Thessalonican Christians and Christ followers. It is you! There's someone that is going to receive this blessing that Paul is going to invoke upon their life. And may I say to you tonight, I'm learning in my own personal experience, there's not only an art to learning how to give the blessing, but there's an art in learning how to get the blessing. I found in dealing with people through these years that some people are good and find it easy to get the blessing, while there are others who find it very easy and comes naturally to give the blessing. I think there's some people tonight that are good at giving the blessing that need some work on getting the blessing themselves. And I think there's some people tonight that's real good, Brother Earl, at getting the blessing that need to learn a few things about giving one. You remember how that God promised Abraham in Genesis 12 and then repeated the promise in Genesis 18 and again in Genesis 22. God promised Abraham two things. He said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Is that what he told him? He said, I'm going to bless you and your seed, and I'm going to make you a blessing to all nations. That's what he told him. And then you study, oh, Abraham, and you watch his story unfold in Genesis, and all he's trying to do is get the blessing and help God give him the blessing. He's just consumed with getting that blessing. And God's got to train him and work on him. And God's got to do some things in his life, Brother Joy, so that you see him in the latter part of his life. Abraham's come around to the twofold aspect of this blessing, that he's both going to get it and he's going to give it. And Abraham's got to have some training from God and not just getting this blessing, but giving this blessing. And of course, his grandson Jacob comes along. Boy, he's consumed with getting the blessing, ain't he? Son, he can't get out of his mama's womb without trying to get the blessing. He'll get it from his brother. He's the heel grabber. He's trying to grab Esau's heel, trying to grab the birthright and the blessing before he even knows what it is. It's instinctive. Jacob, by nature, he is a getter. He's a getter, man. When he's old enough to know what he's doing, he's getting, and he gets it from Esau. And then he goes down there and gets it from Laban. And everywhere he goes, he's getting the blessing and he's getting the blessing. And God's got to work deep. And God's got to work effectually in Jacob's life towards the end of his life to remind this old boy, I gave you the blessing so that you'll give it to somebody else. I know a lot of people, they're very skilled. It just comes natural at getting the blessing. Some of them you may call bums. They're getters. Man, they're getters. Y'all know any getters tonight? I personally know a preacher tonight. He is extremely skilled in the art of getting. I haven't been around him in a few years, but every time I've ever been around him, Brother Mike, he always hits me with this line, hey, brother, has God laid it on your heart? He's liable to ask, God laid it on your heart to give me that coat? Every time I've ever had a book, reading material in my hand. Yeah, he's serious as a train wreck. Brother, God lay it on your heart to give me that book. I preached a meeting in this guy's home church, his pastor told me. Said, this brother come to church one time and started at one of the deacons at the church. One of the deacons at the church went out and bought him a $300 pair of ostrich skin boots and wore them for the first time to church on Sunday morning. And this preacher said, brother, did God lay it on your heart to give me them boots? And the man said, well, not that I know anything about it. I hadn't heard nothing about it. And all Sunday morning, through Sunday school and through preaching, he kept on. Are you sure God didn't lay it on your heart? The pastor told me out of his own mouth. He said, for it's all said and done, that man left barefooted, and the preacher left wearing his $300 ostrich skin boots. Talked him out of them boots. The man went home barefooted that morning. There's just some people very skilled at the art of getting the blessing. Getting the blessing. They're getters. And so God's got to work in their heart, Brother Gene, to make givers out of them. But you know, there's some of us tonight that find it easier to give the blessing than we do to get it. The getting part's the hard part for some of us. Do you know that? Some of us find it very awkward and difficult. I want to be the giver. Not I want to be the getter. That makes me a little uncomfortable. And God's got to work grace in me, the grace of receiving the grace of allowing God to work in this man's life to bring the blessing to me and not have to dominate this relationship where I'm always blessing him, but I can put myself as the one in need for God to use something and bring something through his life into mine, and I can get in the posture of humility where I can receive this blessing from somebody else. Now, can you imagine the Thessalonians saying to Paul, "Well, I do appreciate that. You know, but now we'll be a blessing to you now. Don't worry about it. We're fine. I tell you now, I'm just preaching out of my own experience with this, but I don't know how many blessings I have missed from God because I wouldn't let somebody bring it to me from the Lord. I've identified at least three reasons in my life where I've struggled with getting the blessing that God would bring through another person. Number one, pride. You ain't going to bless me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be the giver. I'm self-sufficient. I don't need no blessing. I don't need nobody. I'm the factory and the fountain of all blessings. I'll bring the blessing into your life. You just sit back and let me bless you. I tell you, I think I've struggled with that some. I think I've struggled sometimes with receiving the blessing with feelings of unworthiness. Well, I don't deserve this. Well, of course you don't. That's the nature of the blessing. I think I've struggled with getting the blessing, being on the receiving end of the benediction. I think I've struggled with that in my own life, with not only feelings of pride and unworthiness, but at times, Pastor, with feelings of indebtedness. Now, if you really bring the blessing to me, what if I can't repay you? As if, you know, you've really messed up my life by bringing all this blessing into my life. Now, I owe you. What if I can't bless you like you bless me? You ever felt that way? Get a little leery of people wanting to bring all this blessing into your life and all these ties and all the expectation and all this indebtedness. You ever notice some of us, if we do receive a blessing from somebody, we just feel like we got to pay them back. You ever notice that? I've seen that in my own life. I've seen that in the lives of people that I've tried to bring the blessing to. They just got to pay you back, you know. You did something for me. I can't just receive it with thanksgiving and grace from the Lord. I owe you now, and I got to do something to make it up. There's something to be said not only about giving the blessing. There's something to be said about getting the blessing, just receiving. You know, I'm surprised at how many people will come to a church service and they don't come to get a blessing. Well, amen. I'm surprised at how many people come to a church service and they'll sit there and they'll sit through the singing and through the preaching. And you know, Brother Gene, when you look at them, you know sometimes the people that you're looking at them while you're preaching to them, Brother John, and you tell, they're saying, "You can't bless me. You ain't going to tell me nothing. Just go ahead and try to bless me. You ain't going to get no blessing in on me." You need to be humble enough tonight that you'd let one of God's servants, whoever that may be, bring his blessing, allow them to be the giver and bring that to you, the getter, and be in that posture of humility where you would receive what all God wants to do in blessing you through another person. You see, that's how God works, isn't it? So many times he's going to bring his blessing into your life through another person. All right, so that's introductory. Let me close with what I'm going to be. What this, but you know, I think I've been plenty long enough trying to get around to the point. I think we ought to get into the benediction itself. That's what I'm going to do as I close tonight, what I'm going to do tomorrow and Saturday night. We're going to get in. The question is, what is the blessing? Number one, there's the giving of the giver of this blessing. And two, there's the getting of the getters of this blessing. But thank God, there is the gifting of the gifter of this blessing, and that is the Lord. Did you notice it? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Did you notice? Paul may be the one giving the blessing, but God is the gifter. God is the one bringing the blessing down through Paul into their lives. Paul's real clear. Now, God's going to have the blessings from God, isn't it? But I'm praying. I'm praying God, he said. I'm praying down from God that he'll bring this blessing, this gift of goodness into your life. So what is the benediction? What's the blessing tonight? What is the blessing? I think that's a great question. You know, the Bible uses that word bless, blessing, bless, bless. Yeah, it's all over the Scripture. But that thing of the blessing is a very elusive thing, isn't it? What is it? You know, we throw those terms around. God bless you. God bless. We throw that around a lot, don't we? All three of us sneezed on the way down here today. Some of us several times. I don't know how y'all do it around here in Florida, but in Mississippi, when somebody sneezes, you say, God bless you. Now, I've been wondering, Brother Earl, recently, Brother George, I've been wondering where that comes from. Anybody got any idea where? I don't know. I'm just asking. You know, when somebody sneezes, you might say, are you okay? Is everything all right? No, it's just protocol to say, God bless you. You know, when people sneeze, you say, God bless you. You don't even think anything about it. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, it's just what we've been trained to do. What would happen if somebody sneezed and you said, God bless you, and God did? I mean, some great blessing fell on their life. But what would the world happen? We throw that around, God bless, the benediction, you know, the idea of it's something we just throw around every day of our life. The pastor gets done preaching on Sunday morning, he stands at the back door, everybody comes out, says, that's a really good sermon, preacher. Thank you so much for the message today. And what do you say? Well, God bless you. You're not really sure what to say. What do you say when they say, good sermon, you did a good job today, needed that, appreciate that. Well, what are you going to say? Well, God bless you. Brother Mike, you're not going to say, well, you know, you're going to sit there and pour them, well, no, it was awful, you know, I did a bad job. You're going to say, well, you know, it's pretty good. Yeah, I have to agree with you, you know. I'm not going to say that. So you just say, God bless you, God bless you. Well, we don't know what that means, but it just sounds good to say in that moment. I found that little expression, God bless you, makes a very safe hospital prayer. Brother Gene, I know that he's a chaplain in the hospital, and us preachers and pastors know what it's like to visit people and deal with them in the hospital. And sometimes it's difficult to know how to pray for sick people. Sometimes it's difficult to know how to pray for these people that's got cancer and ailments. Sometimes we don't know if it's the will of God to heal them or not. We're not sure if we ought to say, oh God, would you heal their shoulder tonight? God, heal this man's shoulder. I'm asking you in Jesus' name. Well, I'm a little hesitant about that. I'm not sure if it's the will of God to heal his shoulder or not. And if it's not, and I go to praying that way, and he don't get his shoulder healed, then I'm a prayer failure. And everybody said, that man can't pray. No, he can't touch God in the throne. Don't bother about this man coming down to the hospital praying for you. But you know, God bless you makes a real good hospital prayer. And so isn't this how we pray? Oh, God, bless his shoulder. Now, we don't know what that means, Lord, but just whatever it is, bless his shoulder. And bless the doctors and bless the nurses and bless everybody that attends and bless them today. That makes a safe hospital prayer to pray over somebody, don't it? We use that expression, God bless you, the benediction. We throw that around an awful lot. In fact, you look at your prayer life. That's pretty much how you pray for everybody. God, just bless them. Now, we don't know what we're talking about, and we ain't really projecting any good and benefit from God into their life, but we just throw that out there to cover all the bases. God, just bless them. You've ever noticed how we use that phrase to cover our gossip? You ever notice we go to talking about somebody, we say, oh, so-and-so, I tell you, Brother Allen, they can't discipline their kids for nothing, but God bless them. Oh, so-and-so's as lazy as the day is long, I tell you. But God bless him, God bless him, you know. You ever notice how we throw around, going to talk about it, but we get real spiritual about it and throw a God bless you on them. I'm asking you in closing tonight to think about it, what it means to bring a benediction. What is the blessing? What is the blessing? Here's my conclusion tonight. We'll expand and enlarge on this over these next couple of nights, but here's where the blessing's at. Of all things that God could bring into their life, that Paul could beseech the Lord and pray God for them. What is the blessing? I mean, that their pockets be filled with money, that they have nice houses, that they drive great cars and eat great food and have all of the temporal things of this life and success and fame and great jobs. Is that the blessing tonight? That's what everybody outside of here thinks. Paul doesn't leave any doubt about where this is the blessing. This is the blessing that I'm preaching about, and I pray that God will make it a blessing to you. It's how God works in our life in salvation. That's the blessing. I don't know anything I could go preach anywhere to anybody, Pastor, that could be more of a blessing than the blessing Paul invokes upon them when he prays down this blessing from God, his effectual work, his effectual saving work in them, that God would sanctify them wholly. That their whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. That's the gift tonight. That's the gift. You know, salvation is a blessing, isn't it? To have a work of God going on inside of you. That's the blessing. Who cares about how much money you got in your pocket, and what kind of car you're driving, house you live in, what kind of job you got, and you got good health? Oh, that's great. Count your blessings this Thanksgiving time and season. That's wonderful, but I could not imagine gratitude rising up inside of us. I could not imagine Thanksgiving in us being any greater than to understand that the chief blessing is God's effectual work, His sanctifying work to change you, to transform you, both in your spirit and your soul and in your body, being saved and knowing the saving work of God is the blessing tonight. People think getting saved, you know, such a burden. People look at getting saved, you know, well, I'll tell you, I know I need to get saved, and I'll tell you, I'm going to get around to get saved one of these days. And which is, it is. That's almost comical in it. So I'm going to get saved one day, you know. You know, but if I got saved, that just ruined my life. That brings such a burden into my life. God really worked saving me and sanctifying me and my whole spirit and soul and body. I'm sorry for the way we preach salvation sometimes. And in addition, I'm sorry for the way we present it through our lives, that we have given people the idea that being saved and this saving work of God that's going on inside of us is such a burden. It's not a burden. That is the blessing. So here's my conclusion tonight when it comes to salvation. I would say tonight the who of salvation is a blessing. God's all over this thing, ain't he? You know, if somebody's going to get saved, God's going to do it. Paul said the very God of peace is going to have to be the one to do it. And I pray God that he does it. In verse 24, I know he's faithful that calleth you. He's also going to do it. The who of salvation is a blessing, isn't it? The how of salvation is a blessing. What's that little salvation word he uses there? And the very God of peace sanctified. That's one of them salvation words. That's one of those salvation works of God in our life. That's a blessing, how that God saves. The who of salvation is a blessing. The how of God's salvation is a blessing. The what of salvation is a blessing. What is getting saved? Sanctification. What's sanctification? It's how God saves you from your sins. It's how God saves you from your sins. It's how God changes and transforms your life. What a blessing. What a blessing. This great work of God. Both the who of it and the how of it and the what of it, that God can save men from their sins. And there's no greater blessing than being saved and set free, sanctified, set apart from your sins unto the holiness of the Lord. I'd say to you tonight, not only the who, and the how and the what, but the when of salvation is a blessing. You know, the text is real clear about that. Verse 24 said, faithful is he that calleth you. When's a man going to get saved? That calling marks the beginning of the saving work of God. That's when you're going to get saved. When the Lord calls, may we pray that God calls. May God, I pray God, would call me in unto salvation tonight. Because here's the emphasis of our text. The will of salvation, it begins with a call and it ends with the coming. Verse 23, that you be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's the whole wind of salvation right there, from the calling to the coming. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I'd say the wife's salvation is a blessing, because God's the one doing it all, and God's the one working it all, and faithful is He that calleth you who also will do it. That the why and the reason and the purpose of salvation, it's all for the glory of God. I say tonight, the where of salvation is a great blessing. The where of it. The where. W-H-E-R-E, the where. I know I preached 50 minutes to get to what I'm going to preach on all week long in this benediction, and that's the where. Do you know our verse more clearly? In more detail than any other place in the Bible, this passage of Scripture tells us where God does His salvation work in a person's life. I don't know about y'all, but Brother Gene, I think that the most least understood part of God's salvation is the where. I think there's gross total ignorance of where God does His work of salvation in this hour. And at the very best, there's a lot of confusion in people's minds and hearts about where God does it. See, this is what I really believe, Brother George. I don't believe you'll really understand the who and the how and the what and the why and the when and all these things until you get a handle on the where God's doing what He's doing. I think one of the things that's killing the church, and I think everybody would agree, the church in America today, and I'm not being proud or condescending, but I think that every serious-minded Christian would agree tonight that the church in America is in a sad, sad, sad shape. I really believe every bit of it can be traced back to our understanding of the gospel, which is very, very flawed in this generation. One of the areas of supreme darkness in the saving work of God in this hour is the area where God does His work. I think one reason for the darkness and the ignorance concerning the gospel in this hour is due to our oversimplification of the gospel. I really do. You know, somebody said, well, the gospel's simple. Yes, it is, but it's also very deeply profound. One of the great dangers that we make in the gospel, our understanding of it, preaching and teaching of it, is oversimplifying, dumbing down, reducing, oversimplifying and reducing to the point we're preaching a bunch of half-truths as if they were whole truths, to the point now we're just preaching a bunch of untruths. I think more than any other area of the gospel that we have oversimplified, reduced, and dumbed down is this business of where it is that God's doing His work in a person's life. Ask somebody, now where does God save you? Where does God do His work? And you'll get an answer, well, in my heart. Does it in my heart? Well, is that all you got to say about it? I wouldn't disagree that that's true, but that ain't all the truth. That's about all the average church member. Well, the Lord just, you know, where's God do His work? He does His work in my heart. Somebody may go a they may go beyond that, a little more all-encompassing. Well, God saved my soul. Well, really? Is that all He's done? Just saved your soul? You sure that's all? Is that the only place God's going to work in your life tonight? See, we need to get a handle on where God's doing His work. And it involves more than just your heart or your soul. Salvation involves you more than you just praying a prayer and you go join the church and you go get religious and you go turn over a new leaf and go quit running with all them buddies and, you know, quit doing that stuff. No. You need to understand that when God does His work, notice those two words up there in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you. What's that word? And I'm done. Holy. Totally and completely. Holy. And I pray, God, you're whole. Here we go now. Holy, whole. The blessing is that God will sanctify you wholly, totally, in your whole spirit and soul and body. Folks, if you get a handle on that, if you get into that and that begins to get into you, that's the blessing. God ain't just about saving your heart and your soul. God ain't just about doing a little something in some little part of your heart tonight. When God comes into a man, He comes to take over the whole. When God begins to do His work in a man, He's going to do that work to the whole of the man, and He's going to do it wholly. No half measures with the Lord. Where does God do His work of salvation? In your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. He intends to save you totally in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. And He ain't going to stop till He does. He ain't going to stop till He does. We tell Paul, oh, what you ought to give your heart to Jesus tonight. Well, He wants a whole lot more than that. And you ain't never going to get on the blessing trying to give Him a little of this and a little bit of that. That ain't going to work. That ain't the blessing. That ain't where the blessing's at. But the blessing is in the work of God in every part of man. Every aspect of our human persona, God intends to do His work. Sanctifying, saving from sin, setting apart the whole man for the glory of God. I'm interested in that tonight. I want to know more about it. I want to experience more about it. I want to cooperate with it and yield and submit and say, oh God, bring that blessing into my life. And God, bring that blessing into Brother Jeremy and Brother Lester's and Brother Mike's and Brother Earl's and Sister Sylvia's and every one of our lives. God, may this be the blessing, the reality that we know the work of God in all of our parts. That's the benediction tonight. I'm looking forward to exploring that in a little more detail, what that means with you. God's effectual work in all my parts, Brother Kermit. In my whole life. The blessing.